The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with my friend-engineer. He's my friend and my engineer, Bob Dio. Bob does such a great job engineering and producing the show, and he certainly deserves a shout-out each and every day at the beginning of our program. And we do welcome you to Buckmaster. It is the first day of summer. We've got a little activity here at the station, a first day of summer party going on. And Bob, I've never seen so many goodies out there. I'll probably sample something after the show. Oh, you're showing me a huge dish of some of the goodies. The chicken. Yeah, that will be probably consumed during the show, right? It is Friday, June 21st, 2019. We're live each weekday at 10:30, Tucson's Voice. For trusted local news and talk, we have our worldwide live listening and quite an extensive, to say the least, archive of podcasts of this program at buckmastershow.com. On Friday, we like to do a media shout-out, TucsonSentinel.com. Our friend Dylan Smith does such a great job there. And, of course, Green Valley News and Sahuarita Sun. Dan Shear is the editor there. He's with me in studio, so I can thank him in person. Thank you, Dan, for everything you do for the program, including hosting, while Ann and I were able to sample a few of the West Indian Islands.
And thank you guys for taking us on vacation with you.
I'll tell you, Ann does such a great job with the photos. I did a couple of them, but the ones that got most of the likes were from Ann. Also, a shout out, Tucson Local Media Group and its portfolio of publications, which include Inside Tucson Business. Jim Ninsel's the executive editor at the Tucson Weekly. We'll hear from Jim at about 12:30 today. There are other papers, Oro Valley Explorer, Marana News, Foothills News, and Desert Times. Our Friday Focus interview, Jan Lesher is with us. Jan is the Assistant Pima County Administrator. Jan, how are you?
I'm doing very well. Thank you so much.
Well, it's good to see you again.
Thank you.
And of course, we already introduced Dan Shear. We did not mention his other title. It's not only just a title, but it's a pretty darn consuming. He's the editorial director for 24 publications in the WIC newspaper chain. And Dan has just informed me that he'll be traveling to their newest acquisition, Fergus Falls, Minnesota. Close
yes.
to the far,
yes.
probably the Fargo area might be their
That's exactly,
closest metro area. Huh?
Right. I hope to get up there before the snow falls. And Fergus Falls will be our 11th state that we have publications in. And we're very excited. We actually take control July 1, but it was announced this week.
Local journalism is still happening, right, Dan?
Oh, absolutely. It's very strong, and the local community is very much supportive of it.
Okay, Jan Lesher, for the first time in a long time, I've been in town 31 years, so I kind of remember this, but someone told me that it's been like the 1990s when was the last time that Pima County did not have a budget at the beginning of the fiscal year, which, of course, is July 1st. But there is statute that says Pima County, and I assume other counties in the state
Correct.
Of Arizona,
mm-hmm.
can go over the fiscal year deadline or whatever.
We can, Bill, and Pima County can legally take until about August. We have no intention of doing so, and I think the board continued the budget until July 2nd, one day into the new fiscal year, and a lot of hard staff work going into it at this point, and lots of positive discussions taking place between the board members, and so I have every confidence that we will have a budget on the second day of the fiscal year, so we see no problem for anybody getting paid or for employees or anyone else.
Can you explain, simply put, why there was this delay?
Very simply put, a majority of the board wanted to continue to discuss a few options to potentially decrease the tax rate and asked for staff to dig down a little bit deeper and to evaluate some recommendations put forth by members of the board. So I think in the final analysis, it's a very positive direction where the board, rather than offering up alternatives that didn't seem palatable to others or to offer last-minute suggestions, brought forward thoughtful items for consideration and asked staff to develop them and see what the impact might be if they were to come to fruition. And that's what staff's been doing. And then those recommendations will go back to the board for that July 2nd meeting.
Dan Scheer, we have not seen a lot of teamwork in the past among board members, but there seemed to be a glimmer of hope this time around.
Definitely seems like it. And if there had been a budget vote, probably would have been 4-1 with two Democrats and two Republicans agreeing on it, which would have been very interesting. Jan, are you seeing a little bit more cooperation, collaboration among the supervisors?
Dan, we truly are. And I think for those who have who watch the board meeting or sit in the boardroom, it's interesting to watch the conversation and the discussion between the board members and, you know, just sitting at the dais. You can see them chat. You can see conversations. While the budget got a lot of attention as the item that was continued at our last board meeting, there were many, many, many items that passed unanimously, and not the least of which was 91 contracts that went out to a variety of agencies in our community, totaling some $3.9 million to support and enhance the work of the county for seniors or for utilities, assistance, and weatherization for homes programs that we receive funding for from the federal government and other agencies. Those passed unanimously. We saw zonings considered in the same way, and I don't think you get the unanimous consideration without people really collaborating and working together.
One of the ideas brought up that was not unanimous was actually delaying hiring for a quarter, and this would save some money. Why is this not a good idea? Although some corporations do this. If they have an opening, they will put a freeze on it for 3 months, and that's what was asked.
I think that what we're looking at is some additional staff work on that item, and that what, the consideration is, what would that mean if we delayed for a quarter? What is the financial benefit? What happens if we have a freeze? And part of what then the county administrator had responded to the request about the freeze, is that what tends to happen is it doesn't end up being universal. We've already, for example, received a memorandum from the sheriff saying it doesn't work for us because we're public service. So freeze other people, delay them, but we need ours. And that's what we see occurring. So what we're trying to evaluate is, while it might work, is it real? And do you get the across-the-board consideration that you might need? Or can we find a different way to come up with the, it's about a $10.4 million cut that people are considering that would get us in tax equity?
A term we're hearing a lot come up recently is pay as you go or pay go. What exactly does that mean? And have we been doing that in the past?
We really have not, Dan, and Pima County has for many, many years relied on voter-approved bonds and bond initiatives. If you think about 97, 2004, 2006, hundreds of millions of dollars have gone in to provide the funding for critical infrastructure through voter-approved bonds. Obviously, that's not been a direction that the community's chosen to go the last few years, but our need to continue to build exists and to look at those projects. So we are looking to transition into pay-as-you-go, which means we will be building up the capital that we need and the funds that we need so that we can, for example, we're looking to increase the tax rate by 2 cents in the library district to build funds to build two new libraries, one in Sarita, one in Vail. We need to develop those funds ahead of time so that we can then build the buildings that we need. As part of the transition, what we are looking at is in the next couple of years, we're going to be maturing the last of the voter-approved bonds. So the debt service, the money that we have been spending on paying off that debt, is going away. And what we're looking to do is take those newfound funds, if you will, and divide them in half, half to go to pay-as-you-go, half to go to pavement preservation and road repair in the community.
How much road repair is included in this new budget?
$26 million.
Okay, and there'll be a place that people can go to find out where the projects will
Absolutely.
Be?
Absolutely. If you go to the Pima County website and just look in our transportation department, it delineates every road project that is being considered. And you can look by district, you can look at the map, see how close it comes to your home or to the roads that you travel every day.
I like to budget each month for my property taxes. Speaking of pay as you go, so I don't have a big surprise every 6 months. So in my budgeting, should I be budgeting, Jan Lesher, pretty much what I budgeted the last fiscal year?
Yes. And I think, and that's really the crux of the decision to delay the final budget vote. Right now, we are looking at a decrease in the primary property tax rate of 7 cents. It would be the second year we decrease that rate. But we're looking at increasing, as I mentioned, the library district by 2. So you're down 5 cents. Assessed valuation, however, has been going up for some. So even if you see your tax rate go down, the amount on which that rate is assessed is going up, which means some taxpayers might see their bill go up. The proposal before us right now is whether or not we remain tax neutral, which means we would have to decrease that tax rate even more so that even if your assessed valuation went up, you're paying the same. So the only conversation you're really looking at right now is whether or not you're going to pay just the same you paid this year, at least as it relates to Pima County, because obviously when people get their bill, there's other entities
Sure.
whose rates are on there, but the amount that's from Pima County would not go up, or if it does, it goes up by a lesser tax rate, but potentially a higher assessed valuation.
And there's how many? Each bill always shows like maybe a dozen other taxes.
Jeepers, when you add school district and the community college, and there's a variety of other.
Right. All right, Jan Lesher will stick around for segment number 2, as will Dan Shear. But Dan, you know what I'm going to talk about right now.
Absolutely, Mona's.
Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle. Did you get up there,
Absolutely.
Dan?
Absolutely.
I know you wanted to familiarize yourself with one of my great sponsors, so you did a little. It's a long way from Green Valley, granted, but when you were in the Tucson area, I know you wanted to go up and see Chief Baker and owner Steve and the whole thing. What were your impressions at Mona's?
Well, I walked out of there with an entire pie, so that was number one, and that wasn't the only thing I bought. And I'll tell you what, everything was good, but you could just stand in there and just smell. It was
yes.
just wonderful. So, and they run a really clean, efficient business, and the case was just full, and it was really nice, and I will be back.
All right. Mona's Danish Bakery, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. They are open each day for breakfast. That's been the new deal for Steve. He put in a lot of equipment with the grill, and he got all the permitting from Pima County, and he was ready to go. And so they're up and running, breakfast 6:30. You can do breakfast really pretty much any time. They are open right now for lunch. I always love their sandwiches because the breads are just to die for. Mona's DanishBakery.com. There's also a link not only to Mona's, but I would say probably 24 different partners of the Buckmaster Show. Some of them are legacy partners who've been with us since we launched the project the first week of January in 2011. So check it out, BuckmasterShow.com. We'll be right back with Jan Lesher. 790-2040 is the lifeline number. If you have a question or comment, Jan will do the best she can to answer your question or your concern. Be right back. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. The Regional Transportation Authority has a 35-member Citizens Advisory Committee working to identify transportation priorities for the region and will be seeking public input on those priorities before too long. These priorities will help guide development of an RTA continuation plan. The current RTA plan and half-cent excise tax will continue through June 2026. To sign up for RTA updates, visit rtamobility.com. This is Bill Buckmaster encouraging you to fly from Tucson International Airport. When you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. A new study shows the Tucson Airport Authority's annual economic impact is $7.4 billion, with almost $1 billion of that from visitors flying into the airport. Fly Tucson, and airlines will respond with more flights, bringing more visitors, benefiting all of us. Type in TUS when you book your next flight and fly Tucson.
Hey, it's Matt Russell from The Buckmaster Show.
And this is Ryan Hansen from Bon Voyage Travel.
I am so pumped to be partnering with Bon Voyage on my next culinary and cocktail cruise.
This is definitely a cruise for foodies as you experience the Mediterranean on Celebrity Cruises.
And the private excursions that your team has arranged for us? I mean, come on, an ouzo distillery tour in Greece? A food and wine day on Malta?
We'll handle everything, so all you and your guests need to do is eat, drink, and be happy.
Go to bvtravel.com/Matt Russell to learn more.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Back. It is the Buckmaster Show. On Friday, we dig deep with a newsmaker, and today it's Jan Lesher, Pima County Administrator, with us in studio. Dan Shear is here from the Green Valley News and Saharita Sun and WIC newspaper editorial chain. I'll turn it back over to you, Dan, with Jan Lesher.
I want to go back to the pay-as-you-go real briefly. What is a certificate of participation, and have we been doing those?
We sure have. We call COPS is what we've been calling them, and certificate of participation is when we it's almost like a bond, but it's the way we would mortgage, but it's the two to three years is the span. So if we can't go out and buy a new library today, we'll issue a certificate of participation and pay it off over 2 to 3 years.
So this is close to pay-as-you-go.
It's very close to pay-as-you-go. And when you look at Maricopa County and some of the other counties that rely on pay-as-you-go, they actually utilize COPS to make that so.
And then is there a limit on the COPS on what you can do? As far as a dollar limit?
Not on the COPS themselves. It can impact the tax rate the tax rate and the cap, if you will, but there's really not. But it's what limits it is that if the whole idea of the COPS works because you're going to pay it off in a very short period of time, if it's too large a bucket of money, you simply can't pay it off in that same period of time, and hence you lose the affordability of a COPS.
You and I are both animal welfare advocates, and of course we're very proud that Pima County has, I think, pretty much a state-of-the-art facility now with our new Pima County Pima Animal Care Center. You and I were both at the dedication. Mm-hmm. I remember it was a cold day. So
it was almost 2 years ago, I want to say now. Can you believe it?
Yeah. I can't believe it's two years already. I remember it was really cold. But I was there and you were there. How are they doing? I know the facility was designed to give a little bit of capacity, extra capacity. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to animal welfare, unfortunately, especially this time of year with the kitten litters, things fill up quickly.
They sure do. And I think, Bill, one of the great things about Pima County is not just PAC, but our partners, and that we rely on the Humane Society of Southern Arizona, as well as Hermitage, some of our foster and rescue groups, and Pima Animal Care. Of course, I'm pretty partial to Pima Animal Care, but it wouldn't work if we didn't have really significant partners. And when you look at what's occurred, as you say, it's kitten season, so we start sprouting kittens.
We had an animal hoarding case,
yesterday. We had over 40 cases come in. We believe we have another one coming in today.
Wow.
I think the really good news about PAC and the new facility is our ability to keep state-of-the-art cleanliness and medical operations. In the last couple of years, you may recall, we've had times where we had to stop taking in animals because we had outbreaks of various disease.
Yes.
And we're able to contain that now. Mm-hmm. And we've not had that. We've not had to turn those animals away. Maricopa County just had an incident in the last couple of weeks where they had to stop intaking any animals.
Wow.
Because they had an outbreak of strep zoo and things that are problematic for the area. So that's one of the things about which we're very blessed. And the other, as I mentioned, with our partners, when all the kittens start coming in, our sister agency at Hermitage is there, as well as if we were to have 1,000 dogs, mm-hmm, that are sort of under the control of PAC at any time, we might have up to 400 with fosters and with friends and families around the community who help us take care of those animals as well. And that's really important.
That gets expensive, though, and PAC is not a no-kill shelter, but it's awfully close. Is that where you want to be?
We aspire towards a no-kill, but Dan, I think no-kill is also...
Realistically,
and I mean, a no-kill can be as inhumane sometimes,
yes,
as the other side of the coin. When I came to the county and we began to look at the operations of PAC, we were euthanizing more than half the animals that came in. And now our live release rate bounces around 90% to 95%. Those are difficult medical decisions sometimes about what animals we do keep alive, and that's just it can be more humane for all of us who have had to struggle with putting down an animal. It's very difficult, but sometimes the best thing for that animal. So that's what's going to keep us from ever being 100% no kill.
And Kristen Auerbach has done a great job.
We've got a terrific staff.
And
she's
taking the dogs that have been there for so long and getting them back at least out of the shelter into a foster situation. Her foster network is just unbelievable.
It's huge. And that's what's so important. I think sometimes you take an active puppy or a dog and you put them in a small kennel for any period of time, and it significantly changes the behavior and makes them much less adoptable because they're just not fun and playing with people when they come in. If we get them in foster homes, we get to keep them as fun as each of us keeps our animals in our own homes.
Here's Dan Scheer.
Yes, sir.
I want to go back to the budget, and I know that Supervisor Richard Elias, who is the chairman of the board, was very passionate about the county getting involved in funding preschool, and he wanted $4.8 million, did not get that. Is this the county's job, and what are we doing for that age group?
I think, Dan, that whether it was the county's job was the final decision that the board actually wrestled with. And I think you would find that all five members of the board, in the conversations at least in which I've heard them engage, support quality education and support preschool education, but ultimately didn't believe or don't seem to believe that it is up to the voters, the property owners of Pima County, to be paying that bill. That's either a responsibility of the state and the Department of Education or the schools to fund that program. There are many things that we do relating to children. I mentioned the $3.9 million in programs that we provide through agencies. Some of it just our own Pima County Summer Youth Program. We run a charter school through the county for kids that are 16 to 21 who have struggled with other programs. So when you look at some of our work programs, the ways that we provide support to agencies through some of the other nonprofits in the community, that's where the majority of our board seems to believe is the appropriate use for taxpayers' dollars. I think you'll see them support efforts at the state level and at other levels to support quality preschool education, just not funded by the taxpayers of Pima County.
And everybody pretty much agrees that it's a good thing. So it's not like there's a lot of opposition, and I think, Dan, you'd agree with that.
Absolutely.
It's something that is not a good thing, and that we want to argue against early childhood education. It, again, boils down to paying for it.
how you pay for it. And that's the policy decision that was left to the board to adjudicate.
Anything about the proposed, this is, I know the city's come out very strongly against proposed Department of Transportation, Interstate, what's being called I-11, Interstate 11. There's a lot of concern that it shouldn't be built or routed through the city. And I'm sure the county's part of this too. County land, right?
Sure. Yeah. Well, yes, I mean, and the county has been looking at a variety of options, some further to the west of the city of Tucson. And I think what we're all trying to find out is where's the best way to divert particularly the large truck traffic that's coming across the border and heading up north into the Phoenix area or into California and other areas. And what I'm sure Dan can speak to it better than anyone, that road when you're coming up I-19 and hitting I-10, it's a tough route.
Right.
So how do we divert traffic and where's the best route? And, of course, there's never a route that anyone loves because it's going to go by somebody's home. So does it go west? Is it outside of the city of limits? Does that have a negative impact on the folks of the city of Tucson, which I think has been some of their concern? As the county has supported a route further to the west, that has had some opposition from some property owners out in the Abra Valley. But that's going to be the struggle, is where do we continue to expand in the southern port of Arizona and make the road safe?
Jim Nitzel is going to be joining us for our roundtable portion of the hour, but he is with us already on the line. Jim, are you there?
Yeah.
Jim, we have Jan Lesher. We've been discussing Dan Scheer being here talking about the budget, and I know you probably have a question about the Pima County budget, so why don't we bring you in for a minute?
I'm not sure what questions we've been hearing so far.
Well, is there something that you would like to address with Jan?
Well, I wonder if Jan wants to take a moment, if she hasn't already, to talk about the whole notion of shifting away from bonds and moving towards pay-as-you-go.
And we did chat about that, Jim, a little bit. It's nice to hear your voice, by the way, but it's an important new change for the county, and I think it's going to be a terrific way that we can fund projects without, and allows us to spend money directly on the project and on the roads, which is how we intend to spend those dollars, without using those dollars to pay interest on those bonds, which is the way we've been paying for projects in the past.
Were we the only county that you know of doing it that way in the state of Arizona?
Many were using bonds, and there's been a mixture. Maricopa's had the advantage that they maintained the same tax rate for years while assessed valuations have exploded. You know, they're the fastest growing city and the fastest growing county in the country. So they could keep a level tax rate. And then I think last year, some $250 million in order to their benefit over the delta with just the additional assessed valuation. So
as long as we're talking about bonding and whatnot, the 97 road bonds, I think the idea behind that was that you'd be able to get money up front and get a lot of projects done. But we're more than 20 years into it now at this point, and we're still actually selling off those road bonds and working on those projects. Why has it taken so long to complete those projects?
Well, there's a variety of reasons. One of the largest projects, just as an example of one that that remains with the dollars not totally spent, is the Broadway widening and the Broadway corridor. While you may have voted for those bonds, other jurisdictions have a say in that, and obviously the discussion about the widening of Broadway corridor has taken considerable time on behalf of the city of Tucson, working with the neighbors and looking at that expansion. So we have delayed as we, as Pima County, spend our bonds towards that project. So most of the dollars, I would say the vast majority of the dollars that have yet to be spent, are because of changes within jurisdictional areas and their desire to redirect those dollars.
Jan, we've had some good spring rain, and that brings a heightened concern about wildfires. We talked with Supervisor Christie a few weeks ago on this show about that. They did a couple of campfire get out of control up on Mount Lemmon. Is there any sense in the county that there is heightened awareness or concern about wildfire season?
We are blessed with the fact, Dan, that you're right. Everything is blooming, which is also why I sound like this with most of us who are choking with
you're
everything.
You're not alone.
With everything
Jan,
looking gorgeous, but no. We're sneezing.
Yeah.
We have yet to even hit a stage two from the U.S. Forest Service,
right,
which is terrific news. We are just, actually, we were meeting with Supervisor Christie's office yesterday and developing a plan to make sure that we are getting out some public service announcements and continuing the message that just because it might not be as scary as it's been in past years doesn't mean we need to be very, very careful.
Very good. One last thing. I just want to thank the county for the work they're doing on the historic Canoa Ranch. I had a chance to be out there recently. Terrific work, and everybody should get down there just south of the Santa Cruz Valley Regional Hospital.
Thank you. It is gorgeous. Thank you.
All right, John Lusher, we will let you go. Thank you very much. It's great to see you.
Good to see you. Thank you.
Jim Nensel, stick around. We're going to take our break. We'll be back to you, Jim, on the live line, the executive editor of the Tucson Weekly. Dan Shearer sticks around as well with me in studio on Buckmaster on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. We'll be right back.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Join hundreds of other Arizona businesses who have chosen to put kids first. The Corporate Tax Credit Scholarship Program's deadline is June 30th. Eligible businesses will receive a dollar-for-dollar tax credit. IBE, a school tuition organization, is ready to help. Talk to your accountant today. A one-minute application to IBE and we take care of the rest. IBE works with over 290 diverse schools, awarding 95% of all corporate donations to low-income and disabled students. Deadline, June 30th. azcorporatetax.org.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Let's say you need an honest roofer. Where do you start? Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona has more than 3,200 accredited businesses ready to help and committed to doing things right. Next time you need a trusted mechanic, plumber, AC company, or florist, go to our website, bbb.org, or call us at 520-888-6161. Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona. We are here to help you find local companies you can trust.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. I am Bill Buckmaster on 1030, The Voice, trusted local news and talk. It's our Friday roundtable. Dan Shearer is here from Green Valley and the Sahorita Sun and the WIC newspaper chain, where he is the editorial director. And Jim Nensel is the executive editor of the Tucson Weekly, part of Tucson Local Media Group. Jim, thanks for at least joining in. I had you on the phone early, a luxury, and so I thought I would put you on the air with John Lusher. Some of your thoughts, Jim, about this is a big change, this even going partially to pay as you go, isn't it?
It is, and I think it's driven a lot by necessity. In the past, Pima County voters were willing to go ahead and approve bonds to do things like purchase open space or invest in parks or what have you. And I think that's clearly changed. The last few bond proposals have gone down to defeat. And so Chuck Huckleberry is a man who is able to see the writing on the wall, and I think he clearly sees that the voters do not have an appetite for that kind of thing anymore, but it is certainly possible as you retire the existing bonds, because they have been relatively short-term instruments. insurance that you can take money that you're currently spending on what's called the secondary property tax, the property tax that pays for libraries and for flood control and for repayment of bonds. And you can lower that particular tax rate and increase your primary property tax rate and go with pay-as-you-go. And, you know, there are advantages to both ways. If you borrow money to build something, you do have to pay interest on that. On the other hand, you can generally have whatever it is you want, a park or a government library or what have you, a lot sooner that way, and you can beat, you know, the cost of inflation, the cost of building something later as opposed to building it now. So, but if the voters aren't going to approve them, it's kind of a moot point, and you do have to move to pay as you go.
And so, Jim, the upshot then would be that, yeah, we'll see these projects get done. It just may take a little bit longer. And the advantage, of course, is that we wouldn't be paying as much to borrow the money.
Exactly.
So is there a down? You said there were advantages and disadvantages to both. Is there a big downside to this or no?
I think the downside is you don't get to have whatever it is as soon as you might otherwise have it, because you sort of have to save up. You know, it's the difference between saying, I'm going to save up to buy a car, or I'm going to borrow money to buy a car. And, you know, if you borrow money to buy the car, you got the car. If you save up, you're driving an old car for 5 years before you have enough money in your account to go ahead and purchase that new car.
Yeah, but there's a great fee. And I think I sort of tend on my personal finances to do the pay as you go, because if I wanted to save up, it gives me a nice feeling to know it's already paid for then when I'm ready to make the purchase, right?
There's that too, but on the other hand, your car is going to cost more in 5 years than it costs today, and that's the inflation.
There you go, Jim. Talk a little bit about who the Jim Nintzel, who seems to be emerging as kind of the winners and perhaps not looking as good in the budget process.
Well, I think certainly the losers at this point would be the folks who are looking for money for an early childhood education program. That seems to be something the county has some appetite for studying, but is not going to put any money towards in this particular budget year. So that's a big one. I think the folks who want to see roads fixed, on the other hand, are coming out at least a little bit of a winner. It's not a huge amount of money compared to our needs, but there is some money tucked away in there for the roads. It sounds like the libraries are going to get some more money, so that's a good one. And I think what's really fascinating to me as I watch this budget process unfold is over the last month we've seen a different Allie Miller at the county meeting.
Really?
She has actually made some proposals in a much more diplomatic fashion than she's made them in the past, and you're seeing some of the Democrats on the board saying that it seems like she's making reasonable suggestions that they're willing to, you know, talk with her about. And you have the odd man out being the chair of the board, Richard Elias, who seems to be finding himself at odds with his fellow Democrats more and more these days. And so there's some interesting dynamics taking place down there on the board, and we'll see where it goes from here.
Jim, in regards to Supervisor Miller, I have heard the term invasion of the body snatchers thrown out there.
Oh, my goodness.
That they're not quite sure who's invaded her body. But I think she's always been a fairly reasonable person in most areas. Some absolutely not. But this is really a push forward. But is there going to be a reluctance, do you think, just your opinion, on the part of the Democrats to align themselves in any way with her, given her somewhat erratic history?
Well, I think you're seeing the Democrats say, we saw them, at least Ramon Valadez and Sharon Bronson saying, you know, they were interested in taking a closer look at some of the suggestions that she came up with. Her goal, Allie's goal at this point, is to try to come up with what she's calling a tax neutral or revenue neutral budget that doesn't require an increase in the taxes collected from the people in Pima County outside of the growth in the base of the property, the property values. And we'll see, you know, whether that comes to light at the end of the day. I'm sure there are people looking around for a big empty husk somewhere that the new Allie Miller may have erupted out of, or maybe another something else fell on her head in her office, and she's just a different person. You know, that happens in the movies all the time, so I could see it happening in real life, I guess.
She does have isn't her chief of staff Bill Beard? And
Bill Beard? I don't know if he's chief of staff. It's kind of like trying to study North Korea.
I want to give Allie here the benefit of the doubt, because I think Bill Beard's a pretty reasonable guy. He's the former chair of the Pima County Republican Party, and I know he is. He did join her staff, and I don't really know his role there, but perhaps he's giving her somewhat better advice. Let's put it that way.
It could well be. You know, I have no insights into how things work up there. They're not super fond of me.
I think I understand that one. One person who might be thinking about getting some better advice with the hot mic incident is Mayor Rothschild. What happened there? The F-bomb was dropped a couple of times at a council meeting recently, or what? He thought was off mic. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the sound of it. KVOA had the audio of these hot mic moments where, you know, it was during Call the Audience, Bill, and I think Call the Audience is a wonderful opportunity for folks to get up and let the folks who are sitting there on the council and the Board of Supervisors know what's on their mind. But I also think it can be an opportunity for people who enjoy attention to get up there. And
right,
I don't know,
right.
you guys are fans of Parks and Recreation, but they captured it really well one episode with Patton Oswalt doing what he called a citizen filibuster. And he got up there and went on at great length about a crossover he had planned between the Star Wars and X-Men universes. And I got to say, some of these Call to the Audience moments, it seems like it's kind of the old Seinfeld airing of grievances Festivus celebration when they get there, especially when they get to be on TV while they're doing it. So it's both a valuable thing and also an extraordinary thing to watch as a reporter, and I'm sure as an elected official. So
there you go. Some very serious stuff down in Green Valley, your area, concerning a rabies outbreak, Dan Scheer.
Yeah, there was a rabies skunk with rabies, and several cats died. This would be down in the Elephant Head area, which would be on the east side of I-19 across from Amado. And PAC, of course, was called and had a response there, and eventually took the animals off site, and 17 of them, I believe, total, including bodies. And it's a difficult situation when there is a rabies outbreak, and the county has told us two different things. One, they told us unless it's really big, we don't really alert anybody about it. Then a few days later, they said, oh, yeah, we alerted everybody within a two-mile radius of that. Well, it's a sparsely populated area, and we talked to a lot of people in that area. Not one of them had heard from the county. So we don't know really what's going on there. Rabies is not uncommon in southern Arizona. Let's just say that. And our question is not to take them to task for not responding as we or the public believe they should, but rather according to policies state regulations, are they, and county regulations, are they actually following their own rules? And there still is, frankly, some question about that.
Mm-hmm.
And the skunk remains at large?
No, the skunk was killed and buried, and then they went to go test it, and there just wasn't enough of it left because a wild animal or maybe one of the dogs on the property got a hold of it. There just wasn't enough of it left. So it gets a little gross here.
Jim Nintzel, we had Steve Farley and Randy Dorman. We had Steve on the show on Monday and Randy for a half hour, both for a half hour. There's been all sorts of forums. There's another one, I think the topic is gentrification. I think it's in Ward 1. It's coming up Saturday afternoon. What's your sense, Jim, of this race? And I know Randy was really excited because she had just received news that the Tucson Metro Chamber had endorsed her in the race. And again, how much value do you put in endorsements, Jim Nintzel?
Well, you know, in a race where it seems like a lot of the candidates are it's hard to see a lot of daylight between them, let's just put it that way, mm-hmm. in terms of big issues. I think endorsements help guide people to some degree, less than they used to. However, that said, I think a Metro Chamber endorsement may not be of tremendous value in a Democratic primary. And, you know, I'm having a hard time getting a really good read on where the Democrats are going to go on this one. But we will see on Election Day exactly. I think it's going to really come down more than positions of where these candidates stand, because, like I said, I don't think there's a huge amount of disagreement between them on the big issues facing Tucson. I think it's going to be more about get out the vote and who has the campaign to get those early voters to return their ballots. And last time I checked, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I think Tucson is an all vote by mail election these days. So, I think we'll see who's most effective at hitting those mailboxes almost as soon as those ballots go out and getting their followers and their supporters to send in those ballots.
And they go out in about 5 weeks, believe it or not. And Dan Scheer, you've been around politics and covering the politicians as I have and Jim has. You know, when you get a race where three people, Dan Scheer, have very similar views on the issues, where there's, as Jim put it, very little daylight shines between all of them, it comes down to personality.
Oh, absolutely it does. And I think we're seeing that on the national level for the Democrats who all want to be president. And we'll see after next week, after a couple of debates, probably some dropping out and the money going well for some of them and not others. And so we'll see it to start to drop out there. But you're right, it comes down to personality. Do I like that person?
And Jim, I've heard there's a poll out, but I haven't, you know, I can't verify it on this race. But what have you heard? Very little?
I haven't heard any polling info at all. So
yeah, I heard,
you've heard more than I have.
Yeah, I heard that this week. But who knows? Jim Nentzel, always a pleasure. We'll look for your work at the Tucson Weekly. Thanks, Jim, for joining us.
Always a delight. Good to talk with you guys. Have a happy weekend to you and your listeners.
Thank you very much, Jim Nentzel. And Dan Scheer, again, thank you for all you do for this program and for hosting the Buckmaster Show during my most recent time away in May. And I hope you enjoy the hot sauce from the island of Antigua.
I appreciate it.
There you go. Thanks, Dan. All right. Weekend Watch with Matt Russell coming up next on 10:30. The Voice, trusted local news and talk. We'll be right back.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year transportation plan is funded through June 2026 by a special taxing district, which is a state-established political subdivision within Pima County. The RTA plan and half-cent excise tax were voter-approved in May 2006, and the tax is collected within the district. More about RTA Citizens Advisory Committee's efforts to develop an RTA continuation plan at rtamobility.com.
Buckmaster Show listeners know about my love of travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. I know you value your time and money, so it makes sense to fly Tucson with nearly 60 daily nonstop flights to major hub airports. If you're flying to another airport to take a nonstop flight, you're still making a connection and spending 4 hours on the road traveling to that other airport. That's why I fly Tucson and encourage you to do the same.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
This is Moa Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing.
And this is Bill Buckmaster. For several decades now, Moe has been my go-to expert for all my framing needs and bathroom mirrors. I trust Moe for service, professionalism, and top-of-the-line quality.
Thanks, Bill. Give us a call at 795-8226 and stop by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing on the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge, right next to Copenhagen, and on the web at moesgallery.com.
At Sierra Tucson, we see miracles of healing every day. We are honored to be an international premier treatment center right here in Southern Arizona. Our comprehensive evidence-based programs focus on addiction recovery, mood and anxiety disorders, trauma recovery, including PTSD, pain recovery, and co-occurring disorders. Learn more at sierratucson.com. Or call us at 800-842-4487. We work with most insurance payers.
Time to stir it up, baby. This portion of the Buckmaster Show is Weekend Watch, presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. What a great getaway this is. Just 3-hour drive from Tucson. It's especially a great getaway when it gets very warm and toasty here in Tucson. It's going to be cooler over in the mountains around Silver City, which anywhere from 5,500 to 7,000 foot elevation makes for some beautiful days and cool nights. Find out more about the great places to stay at southwestnewmexico.org. Not only great places to stay, but all sorts of ideas on how to recreate and have a blast in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. I'll tell you how to have a blast and find a good meal. The first person I would go to is Mr. Matt Russell, Inside Tucson Business food and beverage columnist, award-winning Tucson publicist. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great, and I have to tell you, you had me at cool nights. Can you imagine a better weekend to slip away to a Silver City than this one? Man, I just love that.
This would be a good one, I'll tell you. You know, usually one of the hallmarks of Weekend Watch with Matt Russell, talking about another show.
Exactly. I can barely keep up, Bill. But you might remember a couple of weeks ago on Weekend Watch, I reported on the relocation of the Coronet from its quaint digs on 4th Avenue and 9th Street to a much bigger space downtown. And they're still planning that relocation. But since then, I've been getting questions from people about what will happen to that old space. And I'm pleased to report that the Coronet team is holding on to that space, and they've rebranded it as a fun new cocktail lounge called the Libertine. And that's where I suggest kicking off your weekend today. Enjoy a bounty of delicious bites from BLT sliders made with duck bacon, if you can imagine, to a delicious pate made with walnuts and feta cheese. Choose from a great lineup of imaginative cocktails and other libations. I say get happy for happy hour today at the Libertine.
Matt Russell, I knew you would have to work in some kind of a bacon connection. I mean, it's good.
You can always count on me.
There you go. Hey, here's another opportunity for Matt Russell to get out the infamous Buckmaster Show Speedo. Understand it's, everybody in the pool, including old Matt.
Yeah, turn your heads, kids. Don't look at him. Oh, we're definitely going to be turning up the heat this weekend. The temps are going to be hovering around triple digits. And our friends down at the AC by Marriott Hotel downtown are inviting us to stir it up ourselves by doing some splishing and splashing at their rooftop pool party tomorrow from 3 to 7 p.m. All you need is a swimsuit, Speedo preferred, and $5, and you'll be welcomed into the cool waters of this great AC pool. The pool, I think, with the best view of downtown from its rooftop perch. You'll get $3 sangrias, $12 buckets of beer, mixed music by one of Tucson's hottest DJs. I'm going to be going in head first tomorrow at the AC Hotel's pool party.
All right, quick mention about a lavender dinner.
Did you know that Tucson has its own lavender farm? It's actually up in Oracle. They're going to be hosting a fragrant farm-to-table dinner al fresco tomorrow night at 6 o'clock under oak trees that are more than 100 years old, if you can imagine. This is a four-course meal inspired by lavender, and you can find more information and tickets at lifeunderTheOaksLavenderFarm.com.
I like the smell of that story, I'll tell you that. All right, Matt Russell, what's an Inside Tucson Business in the column?
Yeah, you know, the dust has finally settled after the third annual Tucson Food Media Barbecue Throwdown, and My Story offers a behind-the-scenes look at the epic competition. Did my team win this year, Bill? Check it out in this week's edition of Inside Tucson Business.
Have a great weekend, Matt. Thank you so much, sir. The Buckmaster Show, a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, which is wholly responsible for the content of the program. On behalf of Bob Dio, my excellent producer-engineer, I'm Bill Buckmaster. Have a great weekend.